Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Goes Without Saying. You're listening to Goes Without Saying with Seffi and Wing. I'm Wing.
And I'm Seffi.
And this is a really fun episode, I think. We're talking about how we are sold a certain image of what romance or love is from pop culture. We're talking about all the classic tropes. We're kind of talking about Bridgerton, Twilight, those sorts of vibes. Yeah, enjoy. Okay, here we go again. Bloody hell,
we're back.
What a palaver already.
I know. Well, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good.
I did just make an Ollivander joke and say, it feels like just yesterday your mother and father and her buying their first ones.
Yeah.
But then we had to restart. But it does feel like 2 seconds ago we just sat down and we were on the break
and
we were recording for the first time.
I know.
It feels like that still, I think. It feels very fresh because I feel like this is the first one since being properly back.
Yeah.
That now it feels like we're in a conversation with the listener.
Agreed.
Do you know what I mean? Like, now we're talking to you.
Agreed. It's weird because it's like now I've settled into like the new logo, the new space, everything. And I mean, it's feeling good. It's definitely feeling overwhelming, but good.
Okay, good. Good. Thank you for everyone who was excited, just as excited as we were, if not more excited. No, not that's not possible. But everyone who was very excited about us being back, about the new look.
Just thanks so much for being here, guys. I mean, it's mental.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this combo as well. Like, I'm glad we're coming mm-hmm. in strong with just, like, some romance, some love, some sex. Let's just chat about it mm-hmm. all. I'm obsessed.
We haven't had this conversation in a while.
I don't think, like, for as much as you would kind of think that, like, or just, like, the stereotype of, like, two young women doing a podcast, you'd kind of think that, like, dating and romance and relationships would come up way more than it does, but instead we just fixate on like insane things. Mm. Be your best self, you can do it, guys.
I feel like because this conversation kind of some I was gonna say as well, quick disclaimer, this is a podcast for funsies. This is not an A-level essay. And I yeah. feel like sometimes these topics or like these episodes, for some reason, like I think people think
that we're gonna be smart.
You can't Well, you can't cover, like, we cannot give you a comprehensive conclusion on a topic like this in an hour chat where we're going to be talking about, we're talking about fucking Ollivander, for God's sake. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
So I'm just not interested in me looking for my references and all of this bullshit. I'm just trying to have a good time.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, if you want some essays on romance, there are some amazing books on it.
Write a blog. Okay, Perez Hilton, go and write a blog.
Don't though, because
stop coming for me and my reviews.
You're horrific.
This is just for funsies, but it is fun. Yeah. I think having this conversation in a fun way, we can keep it light, keep it funky, keep it fresh.
Oh, I'm in.
Rather than like doing the whole deep dive into like a really serious take, even though it's obviously really serious and complex and nuanced and really interesting and important conversation.
We all know it by now, though. I feel. Like, but mm-hmm. I'm in to go into the fucking...
Are you not just here for a chat?
I'm in for it all. Like, if it goes down the route of, like, the heteronormative standards
anger.
And how we've coded jealousy yeah. as romantic and anger problems are romantic in the way that teenage girls kind of want fucking Edward.
I'm sure
but
we
also,
will go
if
there.
We want to go down enemies to lovers and kind of Shrek and Princess Fiona, I'm in.
Not where I thought you were going to go. Yeah, perfect.
I'll go down either route.
Any road we're driving down, we're going to have the best time.
Perfect.
So how actually are you then? What's going on with you?
Well, my period just isn't coming. And I'm gutted about it. It's been about a week.
Plot twist.
It just will not come. Like last week, I was like,
oh,
I just
pregnancy need... trope.
Shock pregnancy. I don't know what it is, but it's just, I literally last week, I was like, I think I'm just like on the brink of my period. Like, I feel just terrible. My boobs hurt. Like, I'm just in that kind of awful phase, that pre-period, premenstrual phase. But I've been in it for about a week and a half now. And it's like, where is this? Where is this sucker? So I'm just kind of waiting patiently for the little sucker to come out.
It is kind of classic, like, woman goes to bed with a man and then rolls out of bed the next morning and is, like, being sick in the toilet. And she's like, I don't feel right. I'm literally pregnant. Or, like, my period's late. It's, like, what, like, half an hour late? Like, when were you supposed to come on?
It's kind of Bella and Breaking Dawn. It is ridiculous.
Oh, my God.
I'm kind of, like, looking in the mirror, like, oh my God.
The flat stomach in the mirror. It's too much.
My back's breaking. I'm collapsing.
It's too much. It's insane. Well, I hope it comes quickly.
Oh, so do I. Fucking joke, honestly. And endless pain. Endless
pain.
I've decided that. A lifetime of endless pain. Well, how are you?
I'm quite good, I think. Yeah, just, you know, enjoying... enjoying things, yeah, making progress, getting things done.
Oh, stunning.
Oh, actually, just before we get into things, I was just going to say, there is a book club Zoom video uploading right now on my laptop that I'm talking to Steffi as we speak. And I was going to say, maybe we should say, this is the best time to be joining book club because you get charged on the first and we're at the beginning of them. I haven't started this month's book, have you?
No, it arrived yesterday and fucking hell, love the cover.
Stunning.
That is how we judge books.
By covers. How else do you judge books?
In the least recommended way.
The next term of book club, the next three books, basically we've got a fun summer planned. They look really, really fun. And there'll be a post on the Instagram and blah, blah, blah for you to have a look. But I'm really excited. And thank you to everyone who's been joining and like having fun. It's just been so nice to get to chat with everyone.
Yeah, if you don't know what our book club is, we do a book a month. We chat in a Zoom. We do like a few Zoom sessions every month. People come along. We chat about the book. We read along together. Not in the Zoom. That'd be boring. It's kind of everyone take a turn to read a sentence. We just chat. We read.
It's so fun. I was begging people to read little excerpts in the.
Oh no, I love it when people read.
It was giving me big ASMR vibes.
I love that, but it was always my worst fucking nightmare at school.
Reading aloud.
Let's go around the room and we all take a paragraph each. It's like, okay, so everyone else will read their paragraph in the 2 minute allotted time. Why is it taking me 17 minutes? Because I'm going,
It's like suddenly there's no saliva in my mouth. Like,
painful.
Where did I'm the Sahara
so
Desert?
So don't worry, it's anti seminar vibes. Good in times. Our book club. You can just come and chat with your, well, you can just come and sit with your fucking camera off. That's absolutely perfect. But we've chosen really great books for the next 3 months. So come along.
Maybe even romantic books. Who knows?
I think they are.
No, they are, yeah. I'm just saying, like,
I was like,
you know.
They look like they are. Yeah, from the blurb.
Okay.
Cool.
So.
Can I ask you a question?
Uh-huh.
What's your favourite romantic trope?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I know that there are certain ideas of things that I don't like.
Yeah.
As in, not like I don't like it because, oh my God, it's so violent. It's like selling the wrong idea of romance and, oh my God, it's so heteronormative and blah, blah, blah. Not like real criticisms.
But it just doesn't get you in the heart.
It's not getting me. And not only is it not getting me, it's probably infuriating me.
Agreed.
You know when it's like it's not hitting? It's so not hitting that it's actually making me sick.
Like what?
Can I tell you one?
A 100%.
This is not a book. This is an example, I think, of this to me, this character, this whole vibe is the epitome of problematic.
I'm smiling. Why am I smiling? I'm loving it. Go on.
You are on the edge of your seat.
The epitome of problematic character. I'm in. Tell me.
Yeah. Right. Now I'm going to cast your minds back, guys, to Gossip Girl.
Oh, why is it something you haven't watched?
Oh, no. What? You'll get it. You'll get it anyway. You'll get it. It's a huge pop culture. You'll know it.
Yeah.
This was years ago, and actually, I haven't checked up on this. I haven't since watched this scene or anything. So I could be, you know, slightly butchering it. As I said, this is not a factual podcast. This is a podcast of lies. This is a podcast of just, like, general vibes of something rather than, like, a succinct summary.
Anything concrete? Yeah.
I went into Gossip Girl being sold the dream of Chuck Bass, Ed Westwick. Right?
See, this is where you've lost me already.
You don't know who that is.
I've seen photos of him around Tumblr. Okay. Back, no, I do, but I saw photos of him back on Tumblr in the day.
Right.
Wasn't a fan. Even,
okay, well, don't,
even the vibe.
Don't sever my punchline.
But yeah.
So.
Oh, sorry.
Chuck Bass, everyone's saying, oh my God, he's the guy. He's the one to watch. He's the rising star. He's the hottie.
Yeah.
Kind of hold onto your hats.
Ladies.
Like, strap yourself in. Yeah, you're in for a treat. This is going to be an enjoyable ride for you, okay? So just enjoy it. Just enjoy it.
Enjoy the Chuck Bass ride.
Cut to, I don't know if it's the first episode, but I think it might be. He is sexually assaulting Cindy Lou Who, Taylor Momsen.
Yeah.
Who she played Jenny. He is, they're on like a roof or something. He's all over her. She's like trying to get away. Blah, blah, blah. I thought, this guy, this is the guy? I must have my knickers in a twist here. I must be mistaken. This can't be right.
Yeah.
And then cut to, like, he's got seasons on and off with Leighton Meester, and it is that guy. But someone actually said similar things on the Instagram when we posted about this topic. About this general vibe, someone said the worst trope is the, like, quotation, asshole to boyfriend, e.g. Damon Salvatore. Is that how you say it? Etc. Fucked me up real good, they said. Damon, Stefan and Damon, I think that's from... What's that called?
That show that I always call it Teen Wolf.
Not Pretty Little Liars.
But it's called...
It is Vampire Diaries.
Vampire Diaries.
Teen Wolf, same vibe.
I was gonna say True Blood.
I'm sure Dylan O'Brien's doing something fucked up in that. Like, everyone's just doing fucked up things.
Yeah, even Pretty Little Liars. It's like the amount that I romanticize Ezra is my he's my fucking screensaver on my little taco light phone back in the day. Yeah, paedophile.
Also, okay. Hanging out in the student union, and then you're shocked that a student wants to, but like,
was it the
what?
Student union? It was a bar, wasn't it?
A bar, like in the university town. It's like, I don't see my tutors from Sussex hanging around fucking.
No, they're not uni students. They're like high school students.
Oh yeah, of course.
They're at school.
Yeah, she's like 16. Oh, that's so fucked
and then
up.
How he goes, she's like, saying, I want to be a writer, and he's like, God, you are just not like other girls. And I internalized, I will become Aria from this moment. I will live as Aria. Because I just loved
and
it.
And a baby name boom happened. I think everyone else was like, yeah, not only will I become Aria, my daughter will become Aria.
And my other son will become Ezra. I used to think Ezra was the most stunning name, the most stunning man. I was just like, Ezra Fitz. Ezra. Love him.
Is that a cute girl's name, Ezra? I actually don't want to discuss baby names anymore. I remember once I told you the only baby name that I liked for a boy, and you said it was Chavy, and now I can't use it.
No, I love that name. I always think that's really
my
cute because
class roots.
I've always thought that because I've always thought I'd quite love a girl called Juliet, and then I thought,
don't,
giving
you
away
don't
yours
say
now, but
it.
Okay, well, let's cut that.
No,
out,
that's fine. I'm not using it anyway, unless everyone else tells me it's a cute name. But anyway.
We'll cut it if you don't want it.
I think
there.
It's cute, but I think you compared it to like a David Beckham
I love it.
Thing.
Exactly, that you think of Romeo Beckham, but
see,
I do think
I
it's
don't.
Really stunning.
I think of like dead
Romeo Montague.
Dead Shakespearean boy.
Yeah. You think of...
I think of something somehow even worse.
No, I think it's so stunning. And I was thinking then if I have a little girl called Juliet, so stunning.
Are we gonna ship them? We're
going to
start the
problematic. And they're called Romeo and Juliet.
Oh my God.
But I like Juliet with a T-T-E, so it isn't actually the Shakespearean
spelling.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
Cute. Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, it would be cute.
Anyway. Well, that is my issue, is essentially a rapist who's made out to be hot. Mm-hmm. Which for some reason is the crux, if you will, of pop culture.
It really is.
Because I just couldn't believe, I get character development, I get someone having an arc.
Yeah, but I don't want them to develop
being
from
introduced
rapist.
To someone from a rapist.
It's like he had amazing development from criminal to boyfriend.
Like, to like someone not that bad. It's like, Jesus Christ.
It's terrible. Like, character development needs to start from, we don't really know them. Maybe he's rude to a waiter and then we see why he's had this troubled past, blah, blah, blah. It's not he raped someone.
You know what else is interesting about that? Mm. Is that I feel like most people, I remember having conversations with my friends about it, being like, wait, Chuck, like, guys, I'm confused. You were selling me Chuck.
Yeah.
But I've just watched him attack Taylor Momsen. And they were like, oh my God, I don't remember that. And I feel like we are a bit, I mean, there's a new, the Gossip Girl reboot is out. I feel like we're enough past Gossip Girl. Mm. I mean, it is iconic. But I feel like it mostly now, well, not, maybe not mostly, but it really lives in people's memories. But I feel like what people mostly remember is that Jenny, Taylor Momsen, was really fucking annoying.
Really?
Not that Chuck sexually assaulted her. How funny is that? That's what sticks in our mind. Is like, God, that bitch.
Wow.
Get out of my face. Like, annoying girl. And we're so quick to forget that Chuck is... I mean,
he's raping her.
Guys, don't make me say it.
God, maybe I need to watch this. Because also, what was Dan's vibe? Because I remember I was always sold the idea of Dan. I think people that watched it would be like, you would like Dan. You would like Dan. And now I know he's Joe right. from You.
Well, they tried to make him out. Yeah, they tried to make him out like he's like somehow living on the poverty line. But he's living in a huge like penthouse in New York City.
Goodness.
With Taylor Momsen. Is that's it? His sister, I think. Anyway.
God, stunning family.
Yeah, Cindy Lou Who. And then the dad ends up, oh, look, well, let's not get into it. You can just watch it for yourselves.
I'd love to know what the dad did, though.
Just you know quickly. Sebastian Stan's in Gossip Girl?
Is he?
Yeah.
He confuses me, Sebastian Stan. I have always heard so much from Wing about Sebastian Stan, he's the man. I see a video that pops up on my Instagram and I was like, who is this guy hanging out with fucking Marianne from Normal People? Who is this fucking guy?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't catch my eye, I'll say. underneath his name, in the caption says, Marianne, whatever the actress's name is, and I see the name, Sebastian Stan. And I hear him talking, and I look at his face, and I think, this can't be the guy. This cannot be
the
guy.
She literally sent me voice notes being like, this man is so repulsive, there's something biologically repulsing me away from him.
I do.
Which I don't mind. I'm quite glad we're not fighting for him. But at the same time,
I mean, you were repulsed.
I've never heard anything like it.
I think, you know how people discuss like pheromones of like, oh yeah, so my pheromones just match mm-hmm. his, or like, oh, like there's something about his smell that just, it just isn't vibing with me. I think his face mm-hmm. is pheromonally bad with my vibe. Don't know.
That's
something
fine.
That is repellent to me.
I want to watch the movie Monday with you. I think that's him in his prime.
In what?
Is him in Monday. Which, that film, remember, I got you to watch the trailer.
Also, I think also...
You're like licking that woman's face.
All I've ever seen from him is this Fresh film that's come out. Him...
I, Tonya, you saw him in?
He's in I, Tonya.
Jeff. Yeah, we've had this conversation many a time.
Oh, sorry.
It's fine. But I don't want to bore you with something that is already living in the back of your brain.
Also, I don't think I really remember anything from My Tonya.
It was one of my favourite films.
I know. I did like it. But I feel like I don't remember anything from it.
Okay.
So I loved it.
Okay.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Okay, somebody said, I'm just going to quickly say this one. Someone said, the feminist in me screams, but the hopeless romantic is obsessed. And I'm not even going to go into that. I just love it.
Isn't that us all? Just like, why do I like it, but I'm annoyed that I like it?
Mm-hmm. Or just like annoying, but also good. Like sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit. Okay. This person said, in so many romance books, the women are not developed characters at all.
Yeah.
And we did speak about this. We've probably spoken about this 100 times, but kind of like how Bella is, Bella Goth is, oh, not Bella Goth. I do this every time.
But also Bella Goth.
It's because Bella Goth is the iconic Bella to me. I'm such a fucking idiot. Sorry.
Bella Swan.
I meant Bella Swan. I think I did that in book club.
Yeah, I think you did.
Was that where I did that? Yeah.
But it's just
because I said, I do this all the time. And they're probably listening thinking, I've never heard you do that before. Yeah, Bella Swan is just like blank slate for you to project onto, blah, blah, blah. But I was going to ask you about your favourite universe, the Harry Potter universe.
Fine. I didn't know which one you were going to do there. And I was like, it's going to be Katniss. But I'm going to be like, she's not a blank slate. She's a feminist icon.
Your favourite universe, Star Wars. Hermione is obviously a pretty well-developed character. And I feel like that makes a really interesting vehicle for people to explore the Draco and Hermione romance. And I also know that you love Draco. And I would just...
But not with Hermione,
with you. I would just love to invite you to talk about that for a sec.
I accept the invitation. I will be in attendance at the conversation.
You're cordially invited.
What would you like me to say about it, Draco?
I just want you to speak from the heart.
So, I would say one of the best... I'll speak from the heart. One of the best romantic tropes, we've already mentioned the classic couple, Romeo and Juliet, is, I would say, forbidden love. Like, the idea of you're on opposing teams, also would be called, like, a rival to lovers in the enemy to lovers category, but, like, forbidden. Yeah. You're Gryffindor, you're Slytherin.
Oh, I'm in.
You cannot be together. Like, there are the laws of your world mean that you are not compatible. Mm-hmm. But...
However...
There's something going on that breaks the forces of your world apart. And that's what I love. That's my trope. Like, I do think it crosses in with enemies to lovers, which is just fucking great.
Yeah.
But like that forbidden, like your family forbid it. Oh, wow. Your house forbid it. Wow. Okay. Suddenly it's heating up in here. But yeah, I fucking love that.
You know what you're
that.
Reminding me of when you were saying that? Your house will disappear. Your name will disappear. All memory of you will disappear. And then she walks away.
What is that?
You know what that is?
Game of Thrones?
Yeah, it's Sansa. No spoilers, but it's Sansa's, one of Sansa's best moments.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
iconic.
Yeah, yeah.
Your house will disappear. It's so good. Yeah, so you're quite loving the rival vibe with Draco.
I love rivals, but like I don't love kind of rivals with no stakes, like you're kind of both competing for a thing and you fall in love. No, I need it to be like your worlds will not allow this love, like you will break apart everything else in your life for
what
this
love. What
about
when the stakes are low? I'll give you an example.
Yeah,
because I think this is the hottest thing ever, when Jim and Pam,
ooh, mamma mia,
do you know what I'm gonna say?
I just, the names Jim and Pam send shivers down my spine.
Jim and Pam from The Office is a bit where, I think it's something about the printer, like she wants new chairs and he wants the printer or something.
Yeah, and then the episode is called Surplus.
There we go. And at the end, he comes up to her and he's like, give me 4 of these copies or whatever. And she's like, what the fuck? And he's like, just kidding. And then they kiss and he's like, I want 5 or something.
I don't know that,
but guys, you have to watch it. But anyway, I think it's the hottest they've ever been.
Really?
Apart from when before they're together, yeah. But I think that's kind of rivals because they're on opposing teams. It's a bit of a competition vibes. But also, they're also the hottest when it's like forbidden. I guess she's with somebody else. But
It's classic Friends to Lovers. I would say it's one of my worst tropes, because I just almost feel like where are the stakes?
Right.
Like, there's not much angst. Like, the only thing you're risking is the friendship, and the friendship is a lie anyway, because it's just romance. Like, Jim and Pam aren't actually friends the whole time. They just fancy each other.
So true.
But I fucking love, I think their best is literally that moment where he drives back from, he's like interviewing in New York with Karen, and he just drives back in and he says like, Pam, are you free later? And she's just like smiling at the camera, so, and he leaves and she's like, it just ends and she goes, what was the question?
Oh, she's got tears in her eyes.
It's just like, that was a perfect moment.
Performance from her
acting. Yeah, perfect performance.
But you quite like something that you're not allowed. Do you remember once in, I think this is a really old episode, we were talking about how, I mean, just generally, I guess, people grow up with shame around sex, maybe specifically young women grow up with a lot of shame around sex, maybe even with religion, you grow up around with a lot of, fucking hell, you grow up with a lot of shame around sex, and something being forbidden plays into that.
I remember studying that at uni. I probably said this on the podcast before because I just think it's a perfect point from someone else, not from me, but I can't credit them because it was like a uni paper and I don't know their name. But they were talking about like the idea of rape fantasies. Trigger warning. Should have said trigger warning before.
Remember, we had the whole episode called Rape Fantasies. It's from that exact thing,
But it's like,
that's what I was, basically, this is the hole I was pushing you into.
Yeah, it's just highly common with religious communities, apparently, according to this academic essay, that you would have like rape fantasies because it would allow you to feel sexual desire without owning it, because it's something that's happening to you rather than something you're desiring. Not saying that people want to get raped, it's saying that rape fantasies as a thing are more common.
Come on, we're all smart here.
Which I think is absolutely fascinating, because it just takes away all of your, I didn't really feel any desire. It was rape, it wasn't sex.
And also the idea that sex is something, or wanting sex is something that you could be blamed for. Basically, like, women just aren't allowed to ever admit to wanting sex.
Yeah, yeah.
But yet also there's such a huge industry selling women sex in a very specific way.
Well, it's the male gaze way. It's, you're allowed to want sex if it is perfectly fit for men. Really?
Yeah, but also in the really, there's a real like women's industry of like 50 Shades of Grey and like even Twilight. Like, do you know what
so
I mean?
True. Like, but that's like, even the love, like the romantic or sexual books that are for women, or like even if you take it to the level of like the porn that is made for women, and we've slagged off a female porn website in the past, but I think we're both not the biggest fans of porn as a concept. Even the execution of porn is pretty poor, but like ones that are made specifically for women, whenever I have like looked and been like intrigued, like the day that where me and Wing sat down on the sofa and watched porn for I think it was like 6
well, like
hours,
one minute it was 10 a.m. Next minute it's 4 p.m. How does that work?
Because we were so intrigued, and this was like a female empowering porn website.
Not intrigued, we were determined to find some good content.
Determined to find something that was empowering. Every single, why when this is labelled as a women's empowering porn website, am I just seeing women get choked, fake orgasms, basically get fucking beaten up by this gigantic kind of dick that's just like slamming into their vagina? They haven't even like looked at a clit in this whole time. I mean, where is the empowerment here? I'm so sorry, but I'm not seeing any. And then if you trace that, if you go back to like the smaller scales of porn that women are offered, i.e. 50 Shades of Grey, even smaller, Twilight. I think there's one sex scene in that where she says, how are we ever going to get anything done? And I just think it's so disgusting.
Oh,
like,
God.
I see, and then he's like, Alice and... Jasper didn't, or like Rosalie and Emmett didn't leave the house for like months. It's like, you're making me sick,
hell?
Mate.
What the hell?
Still
God.
Team Jasper. But it's like, it's still this weird kind of sex where it's like it's all about like the male validation of this. Like it's so violent. Like, oh, I don't see much empowerment there in the options that women are given anyway.
I think even just the industry more so. To me, it's not even... There's an issue with the content. Yeah, I don't have an issue with choking. I actually quite love it. But I think it's more so even about who really is getting exploited there. Who is making at least financial gain there? I doubt it's the woman. Yeah. In fact, I know for a fact it's not the woman. It will be the man behind the camera. And beyond that, it's going to be the man running the organisation, which it is. As in... these organizations are run by men.
Yeah.
And beyond that, even when they're run by women,
I think I just have a problem with it all, like the optics of it
all.
They're
run by like real like gender hating women. Sleaze, yeah, do you know what I mean? You know when it's like pick me, pick yeah. me. It's like, all right, you didn't have to go and run a porn company yeah. just because you wanted men to like you. Jesus. It's a very convoluted way of saying I'm not like other girls.
Yeah. By hurting all the other girls.
But it's so I can't be bothered. It's so complex.
It's so complex. I just find it fascinating because it's like, oh, I don't, what yeah, do you... I don't know. No, go on.
No, I don't even want to go there. I can't be bothered.
Let's go in. Like, let's be bothered for a second. For a second
what
of our lives,
ridiculous
let's
thing
just be
to
bothered.
Say mid-recording. I can't be bothered. I was going to say about the Pamela Anderson.
Pam and Tommy.
And
I haven't seen it. Classic Sebastian Stan content.
It is Sebastian
Not
Stan.
Not interested.
I know. Well, so you know there's no like... clear public consent from her, and really like from the people made the show, including Lily James and Sebastian Stan, but also like the actual creators of the show are very much saying it's from the side of like justifying her story, like bringing light to her and showing her in a very compassionate light, and basically doing it for, not for Pamela, like they're doing something for her, but as in they're doing it in favor of her. They're showing all the ways that she's been exploited and blah, blah, yeah. blah. But the criticism of that is that without her consent, this show just becomes another public exploitation of Pamela Anderson.
Yeah.
So I can't, look, we can't get into it, but it is what it is. Something to think about, hey?
I've never seen it, so I have no thoughts. But I mean, sounds complex,
I really love
interesting.
Her. She did a lot like, she was really... ridiculed doesn't even cut it, but like she knew that she was being made out. She knew that her public persona was this dumb fucking bitch who can't do anything, and she would continue to work, as in like continue to go on like late night shows yeah. and whatever, to get to talk about things that she was passionate about, i.e. like animal rights. She made that exchange consciously, went through this transaction of like being taken the piss out of and knowing that she's going to be ridiculed just so she could use her platform for things that she cared about, which I think is obviously insanely amazing.
Really cool.
Yeah, really
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, really cool.
So anyway.
Stunning.
Okay, I love this point. This person said, I feel like the male romantic interests, brackets, mostly don't care enough or care a creepy amount. And
ooh,
what an amazing point.
More often than not, the creepy amount.
But do you think, but then it's also they don't care. Well, this is why... I just said to Steffi, we're going to get into dating, because I feel like we set a precedent in pop culture where you have to, I know we've spoken about this before, but you have to appear so nonchalant that it's like you're basically a zombie on a date with someone. Like, I've never seen people try to look like they could care less.
Yeah.
But it's like you've spent 6 weeks talking to someone every day. Is that not a bit strange to not care? Like, would that not be weird if you didn't care, for example? I just think it's a really interesting, like, spectrum of they either don't care, like they don't give a shit about you, which is somehow romantic, or they're stalking you.
Yeah, and I think was that point saying that it was in real life or in fiction? Which, like, in general?
I think they're saying, I think they're saying in fiction and like in pop culture, I feel like the male romantic interests don't care enough or care a creepy amount, and I'm saying agreed, and it's also reflected then in real life.
Yeah, because I think in fiction it would be more common that it's like they care a creepy too much amount. It's almost like it's all rooted in possession, and what's labeled as like the perfect romance would be one almost where he is kind of courting the woman into this aim of like owning her, possessing her, and then it's all about kind of jealousy, her honor, and things like that. And then in real life, what's reflected is a woman is in the dating that I see around the fucking internet, in my life, I see it around, is that more often than not, women are so fucking, I guess the word, I hate to say it, is fucking desperate for male validation, is that they pretend that they are also unbothered, that they have to act like this kind of laid-back woman that is like
the cool girl
being courted by equally desperate but kind of obsessed men. But what actually is happening is then both people pretend not to give a shit, and it's this weird kind of stagnant, stunted thing where people are like, what do you want? Oh, I don't really know what I want. I'm just kind of seeing where things go. It's like, no, you don't. You really like them. You've been seeing them for like 3 fucking months.
Mm-hmm.
Say what you want.
Both of you, be honest. Also, I was thinking this the other day. Even if you don't want something more, that doesn't mean that the only alternative mm-hmm. is being treated like shit. Those aren't the two options. It's not,
exactly.
Oh, we have no ties and blah, 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 but I'm also having terrible sex and being treated like shit and being taken for a mug. Or I've told him I want a commitment. Those aren't the two. Do you know what I mean? You can have something casual.
Not
and,
at all.
Fun for you as well. Or like, you can have something casual that isn't making you doubt yourself.
Well, I think that's the fucking goal. Like, that's... Also, in our book club, I hate that we're talking about fucking book club again, but there was an amazing... Well, I actually love it because it's great, but you should join. We've said enough. There was a quote in the book that we read last month. The book was Trick Mirror. And there was a quote that said that... It said all of this stuff, but the most happy group in society is married men, and the least happy group is married women. That says it all. That kind of says it's quite a lot in a statement.
It's alarming.
That it's like, actually, this answer of being kind of in a relationship, being married or partnered up, isn't actually going to eat like...
It's not the only route. Why have we been sold this?
It's not going to equate in an equal level of happiness. The man will benefit from that far more from the women in heteronormative relationships, goes without saying.
Generally.
And we know about the orgasm gap, blah, 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 we know it. But there's also just, like, the fucking love gap, that it's like, you are not benefiting from this love as much as men are. You're just not. So I find it fascinating. Mm. So I think there's definitely...
You know what I was...
Oh, no, go.
No, go. You said I find it fascinating.
I just think there's definitely kind of room to... Well, there's more than enough. The whole fucking spectrum is that world in between being single and getting exactly what you want. The whole fucking aim of this life, I think, is to have as much fun, have a great life, be true to yourself, experience amazing things. Why is it about getting this, like, as soon as I'm working
getting
my
somebody
way
else's
up to
ideas
persuading someone
somebody else's
into
ideas
being a relationship
and not necessarily yours.
I find it mental. I actually find it
sad.
Incredibly, incredibly sad that, like, the majority of women have been sold this lie that they are working towards persuading a man, like, acting laid back enough that a man might bless them with their attention.
Mm-hmm.
No, fuck that. You can
remember
have
that thing
all
that was
of the
like,
fucking men.
Oh, I'm so laid back. I'm not like other girls. I'm so laid back. And it's like, you're essentially saying, I will not hold you accountable. I was gonna say when you were talking about in fiction men are like really possessive, I was thinking of Edward. Oh. And I was thinking about how at the beginning he does both. Like, he goes from doesn't give a shit about her, he's like, oh my god, stinky, I'm not sitting next to you, like, fuck this bitch,
she's repulsed,
he's like, get
repulsed.
This stinky bitch away from me, what the fuck.
The fan he's blows like, on him and he gags.
It's so rude. And they both want to like switch classrooms. How embarrassing is that? Also, like, new school.
That's the worst bit of that. The worst bit of that is when she walks into like the principal's office and he's like, let me change classes. It's like, that's embarrassing.
It's so bad. But he does
so
both.
Bad.
He goes
so
from
cringe.
Like, I'm not even going to talk to you. He goes from literally, I'm not even going to bother to talk to this girl, which is somehow romantic because it's oh my god, it's so passionate, it's so heightened,
angst,
and oh my
city.
Goodness, it's everything, so much angst, to literally, owning this woman.
You're my own personal brand.
And turning
heroin.
Her into a mutant.
He's crazy.
It's insane.
It's so funny. Like, I think the reason Twilight comes up so much in not only our conversation, but like these conversations about like our generation's understanding of romance.
It's too iconic.
It's just because it is the epitome. It's also got the trope, the love triangle, which is the fucking trope.
Be all and end all.
It's just the best. It is the best because it immediately places, interestingly, it places the woman in a position of choice, which I feel like is rare, fucking rare. But I love that because it's like, even though Bella Swan is this blank slate, it's kind of done on purpose that she's got no personality, because it's like she immediately just becomes you, and you get to this, have this choice, team Edward, team Jacob, who would you choose?
But also, you are just an object of desire. Yeah,
it frames the whole thing through a lens of jealousy. There's always a boy being jealous of you, of the other one.
Possessive.
And then also, you can see that in fucking Hunger Games, like the team Peter, team Gale thing. And I fucking love that one. But I am so far team Peter, because of the angst, because it's that like forced like proximity almost in the games. Screaming, so hot, so fun. But I hate Gale because it's just such a jealous vibe, and it's like, I just think that is great. That is,
I'm team Miley all the way.
Lost my point, and just Gale is cringe.
You prefer a Baker vibe.
But basically, that was my point, that it roots romance. It teaches young girls that the hottest thing a boy could be is like jealous and angry.
So true. Because it's like he can't move for desire for you. Yeah. It's like his only personality trait is being obsessed with you. I mean, doesn't get better than that.
But that's so ridiculous, because then you get it's fucking so ridiculous. You get this terrifying man that... It's like, what does it actually look like for someone to be obsessed with you? It looks fucking scary. It's not fucking romantic.
It's not fun.
If you've actually got the equivalent of just girly things. Edward, who is, or any of the fucking,
he wants to suck your blood.
He's terrifying. But it's like the equivalent in real life of that is the guy that doesn't speak to you in class, then all of a sudden switches and is obsessed with you, won't leave you alone, showing up at your house, you're walking home alone, you've got a creepy situation, but you can fucking handle it as you've handled it your whole life. Suddenly a guy comes out in his fucking like Maserati, fucking get in, Bella. It's like, wait, what's going on? Put your seatbelt on.
It's so bad. You know what I find interesting about you, Joe from You? Is that, oh God, we're back to Gossip Girl. Is it Penn Badgley?
Maybe? I don't know.
Penn Badgley? Well, this guy Penn, anyway. I've heard him speak in a few interviews saying things, like people asking about like, oh, how do you feel about like your character being like sexualized, like how do you feel about your character being desired by by these young women predominantly? And he's like, I don't know, like I've seen a few things about it where he basically, I don't want to like make him come across in this as if like he's gonna send a cease and desist, but like
he's like, Wing presented me an unfair
I don't want to present him wrong, I don't want to be unfair, but I got the gist from my tiny knowledge that he was kind of saying like, yeah, it's really wrong and like weird that these people need help, basically. If they find me attractive, they need help, blah blah blah, and almost like in a slightly condescending.
Well, then why have you
passed the
hottest
guy? And I almost felt a bit like, come on Penn, you're a smart man, like you know what you do know your participation in, you know what this is about, you do. It's a bigger conversation.
If they wanted it to be a creep, they would have cast a creep.
It's not about, like, women have poor sense of judgment and women are so hysterical when they find someone attractive and women are... Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying he was saying that, but you get what I mean.
I'm going to cast Penn in a fucking bad light.
No, don't! Don't, because I'm really minimising... I'm being very reductive. That was definitely not his full view, and I'm sure if he was sat here, God, we'd have an amazing chat.
I'd love to.
Penn, come on down anytime. Come on in.
Penn, feel free. The door is open.
I think it's not about... all of these things, like, I feel like with 50 Shades of Grey, with Twilight, whatever, it's always the audience of young women that is ridiculed. Even with One Direction, it's the audience of young women that are somehow in the wrong, not the men in suits in fucking business meetings that set up this media for them. It's by design that these young women are obsessed or whatever with this thing. It's by design.
Yeah.
It's not their fucking fault.
But also, it's really fucking simple. It's really simple in the thing of, you've created this show where a fit guy is acting like the perfect boyfriend in order to manipulate and trick this woman. Mm. I'm talking kind of about the first season, but I guess the second as well, until the twist. But it's like he's performing. Oh, I've got you fucking croissants in the morning. Here Yum. We go. I'm going on this amazing walk. He's saying all the right things. He works in a bookshop. It's this stunning guy.
Mm.
And then it's like, why do people fancy him? He's a psychopath. It's like, no, but the whole point of the show is that he's manipulating this woman by performing perfection to her. Like, it's very, very female gazey the way we see him until it's twisted round.
Coincidence that he's obsessed with books.
Exactly.
Like, he's been reading the exact women written men. Yeah. He's been studying these men that have been written by women.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Thank you.
Yeah. But I think it's the woman's idea of the perfect man is this guy that works in a bookshop. It's just like, yeah, that's why people fucking fancy him. And then, of course, there's this added layer that he's a psychopath. And then it's like, but it's just like, yeah, of course we do. That's the whole point of the fucking show, Pen. Read the script.
Interesting, hey? Also, like, when someone is like a bit nice or like a bit different, it's like, he was written by a woman. It's like, Harry Styles is just a human being like the rest of us. I'm trying to remember.
I like this one. Someone said, show more positive breakups without all the revenge body stuff.
Mm.
And I think breakups are something that is so not represented in like a healthy way. Represented full stop, but not represented in like any real way. I mean, revenge body as a concept, I mean, you can just gauge what we think on that already as just what the fuck, the saddest fucking thing that women are told to do.
It's kind of interesting how we, again, I feel like it comes with the shame around like admitting that you care or admitting that you've been invested in something. I feel like even though we don't talk enough about any breakups, we don't talk enough about like friendship breakups, but I feel like there's less shame in talking about friendship breakups sometimes because you can admit that you care a little bit more freely.
Yeah.
Because you're expected to care about a friend that you've been friends with for a long time or whatever. You've had a really close relationship with someone. We can somehow understand how that works. But when a relationship breaks down, a romantic relationship breaks down, or just a sexual relationship breaks down, you're supposed to be, I'm clicking my fingers here, but you're supposed to be like snap and over it by next week.
And it's all about winning and losing as well. It's about who is doing better. There's a comparison.
Who's upgrading? Who's downgrading?
Yeah. Who's living their life? Who's moved on quicker? Who is wallowing longer? It's all about, and that's the concept of a revenge body. It's wanting to like beat the other person at the breakup. It's like you've heard that they are now seeing someone new and you now need to have a fucking six pack.
One up them.
It's just like, first of all, it's not going to fucking work. They're not going to feel
cruel for everyone.
They're not going to feel fucking shit about it. It's the dumbest idea anyway. But two, it's the fucking saddest idea. It's like,
I mean, they might.
I just don't think it works as a thing. As a concept of like, it's fucking awful. Patriarchal, but it's almost like, God, we're dumb if we think people give a shit about that kind of thing. It's like, you post a picture on Instagram of you've been in the gym all day like trying to get this body. It's like, if anything, it just gives a sad message, I think.
Exactly. Even if they are sad when they see you and they think that you're thriving, it is just ultimately more sad for you if your life now revolves around a concept of revenge rather than just getting whatever being you wanted sad. That you weren't previously getting in the relationship.
You're sad because something broke down, but it's also just the whole thing of rejection, which is why it's difficult with anything, like a friendship, literally a job ending, any of these things.
Mm.
It's like the ending of anything is sad, but again, with the romantic thing, you're supposed to be so nonchalant about the whole thing throughout that you, when have you ever been honest throughout the whole time? You're only supposed to be honest if it's this reciprocated love that's like, I can only show my true feelings if I know that they said they loved me as well, if and at best they said it first. Like, they said it first. It's like, what is this? Why can't you just say when you like someone, when you love someone, when you don't love someone anymore, when you feel it? It doesn't have to be reciprocated. It doesn't have to be matched. Oh, well, he's got over me quicker than I have. Doesn't fucking matter. He's not in your life anymore. Mm-hmm. Doesn't it literally makes no difference.
So how do you know?
You don't have a fucking
clue.
You don't have a clue.
You don't know. And it's all a performance. Mm. It's all a performance of...
It's performance of like chillness.
Mm.
It's like, oh, I don't give a shit. It's, I'm a chill girl. I'm chill. You're not. Sorry, you're not. No one is. What is that? I don't want any kind of love or relationship.
Is that not
that's
sad? Oh, you're so chilled that you've just spent like a year with someone and now you suddenly don't. Is that not sad? You're so chilled that you don't give a shit about any relationship that you have. Okay, so you're sad then. I'm not hearing chilled. I'm hearing like miserable and lonely.
Where's the passion?
You're so chilled that if you and your friends were to not be friends tomorrow, you just wouldn't care and you'd be perfect. You're not chilled. You're
I want anything that I like to be
like,
loved with my
love
heart.
And exactly. And also love and like true relationships are about investment of your emotions. That just is what it is. Like you have to be vulnerable. There is vulnerability in losing and winning, if we're going to use that terminology, in relationships.
Because where are the stakes?
The only way to get something real, exactly, the only way to get something real is to actually give something real.
Yeah. To risk something.
And if you're too scared to give anything real because you're too embarrassed, you will get nothing real back.
Mm-hmm. And this is why, for example, if we bring it back to just literally romance tropes for some reason, friends to lovers seems to have no fucking stakes, whereas enemies to lovers has all the fucking stakes in the world, because you're risking something, you're putting yourself out there, you're risking it all for this, like, to be present in how you feel. It's powerful. I think the worst thing you can do is be dishonest with yourself about how you're feeling, and that's what I see more than anything in like modern dating, is people just like literally lying through their teeth in order to seem like, oh, I don't really give a shit, I don't really care, like, I'm just chill. You're not. It's fine.
But also people lying through their teeth in the sense of like, if the crux of our society is the Disney classic like love story life, it's not a coincidence that we see so many people feeling like, the amount of messages we get where people are like, I'm 20 and I've never had a boyfriend, is there something wrong with me? I'm blah blah blah, like, I've never had a boyfriend, I've never done this, like, I've never kissed somebody, like, is there something wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong
with you.
There's
everything right with you.
There's everything right with you. There's something wrong with society. But what you are or are not doing, it's fine. Just living by like a weird false construct of what happiness or success looks like in relationships, across anything in your life, is never going to work. The slipper does not fit you. Sorry.
It's a lie. It's literally a lie. It's a lie that's been constructed over years and years.
This weird, like, stop trying to fit this square narrative of what life should be over your circle of a life. Like, this glass slipper doesn't fit.
It's not right. Also, it's gendered. It is so gendered.
Goes without saying.
As fucking if boys are there, well, the groups of boys, like, is it, so if we put it the parallel, if as fucking if there's a podcast owned by two guys our age that are getting DMs from boys being like, I haven't had a girlfriend, I'm 20. No, they're not fucking getting.
No, but they are saying, I've never had sex with a girl. What's wrong?
Definitely,
with
because
I've never
it's
had sex
because
with
it's
a
all about
there's an emphasis on sexuality.
Because power comes from, like, that,
owning women through sex
and the power
being desired
women
by women
from being desired by men. But I don't think it's necessarily by being desired by women, it's by like almost conquering women, of like, I've fucked this many girls. Whereas for a girl society is telling women and girls that the biggest honor you can have is be chosen by one
man. You need to be validated,
but that man feels incredibly jealous of all the other men that fancy you, but you have given yourself fully to one man. But for a man, it's just like, let's rack up the numbers. Well, let's just have some fun, basically.
Oh my God, so true. So true.
Just basically men are allowed to have fun lives, women are told to have boring lives.
Yeah, and everyone is told to have an empty life that is all a performance of what you can show or put into a box for other people.
Soundbite. Maybe that's a reel.
We'll see.
We've been looking for reels.
Cool. All right. Well, I hope everyone's feeling furious.
I hope everyone's feeling empowered. I think if I've got one message to say about, like, dating to, like, young people, any people that are fucking listening, it's just, like, take the pressure out of it. Like, take the time limits out of it. Take all of how you should be performing societally in dating and romance in that arena right now. And just actually think, what do you want to do? Because otherwise, mm-hmm. if you don't do what you want to do, you're going to wake up fucking married as a 55-year-old woman and think, I never had any fucking fun in this life.
A half life. Just a cursed life.
But who would choose such a life? You have to listen to what you want or you're going to fucking regret it. You're going to fucking regret it. So just literally do whatever you consensually want to do in this arena. Feel no pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is none.
Agreed. All right. Perfect.
Great. Well, I hope you all have a good day. What a podcast.
Oh my God. No, I do hope everyone has a good day. I hope everyone's just feeling like they just had, like, quite a fun, invigorating chat.
Yeah.
I feel invigorated.
Yeah, I feel invigorated. I feel like I could just talk about romance all day. I'd love to just do more.
I know, it is, like...
just more of this.
It's just a pit, isn't it? It's like a bottomless pit of shit.
It's just layered. I think the thing is, it's just so layered. It's like there's so much in there. Yeah, literally, dig more away. Oh, fuck, think we've reached the bottom. No, there's more, mm-hmm. there's more. Endless.
Yeah.
So fun.
All right, well, let's go then.
Cool. Hope everyone's having a great day.
Let's get out of here. And yeah. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for being here.
If you don't hear from us,
assume the worst.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.